Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
Sacramento. Three on one. Bagley the step. Bagley with the dunk. And you can put it in the book and send it to the left.
There it is. Buddy Hield alone at the top of the Kings record book.
Oh, I like to see Fox Force 5 in the open court.
Fox into the lane. Oh, if you don't like that, you don't like Kings basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. My name is Brendan Nunez. We got Rich Ivanowski on here, as we usually do. What's going on, Rich? How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing good. I'm excited to get into draft talk. I think that we've waited long enough, and it's gotten to a point where there's just no regular season basketball to talk about, no playoff basketball to talk about. I think it's time.
I think it is. And we already were kind of just peeking at it and keeping tabs on the obviously 2020 draft class, with Sacramento potentially being a lottery team here. But now we get to fully dive into it. And we're going to go through most of the guys that are projected lottery, and you kind of paired them. We're going to go through two guys a day. I'll let you take the lead here as regards to the two guys we're going to touch on today.
Yeah. So today we're going to do Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman. Anthony Edwards, obviously from the Georgia Bulldogs. Wiseman, kind of from the Memphis Tigers. Didn't really get to play that much.
From Penny Hardaway's pockets.
Yeah. And I think that they're a good pair to do on episode one, because I think if we're going on ceiling, it's a little bit debatable with LaMelo, but I think if we're truly looking at the absolute ceiling of any player in the draft, it's probably these guys that have the best possible highest outcome.
I would agree. And I think that part of the reason for that, and they have this similarly as well, is that they're both just physical freaks. I mean, in different ways, but they both are absolutely dominant physically. And that's where the upside comes from, because there is still a lot of questions, but this physicality for both of them is really what sets them apart, I feel like.
Totally. I think you could get into LaMelo and Denny, but that's getting more into skills. It's like they have super high skill levels, but they're not explosive athletes in the way that these two guys are. And that's kind of where a lot of potential comes from. If you are just truly a next level athlete, there's a chance that you can be the best player from your draft, and you can develop a little bit more skill as time goes on.
Right. That's definitely the thought process. And then there's also times where you see guys that obviously have that athletic profile and then aren't able to piece it together. So, I mean, there's definitely risk here. It's not the top that you're used to seeing in drafts, especially recent drafts. This is seen as weaker at the top. And like I said, these guys definitely still have some question marks to them. And these also are the guys that are mocked for the most part near one and two. It is obviously a polarizing draft this year, so people have varying opinions, but you see them pretty consistently up there. And how do you feel about starting with Anthony Edwards? Because I feel like he's the number one.
I definitely want to start with Anthony Edwards. I think we just should get started with his biggest strength. It's got to be his athleticism, right?
Yeah, has to be. 6'5", 225. And he's a little younger, actually. He was born in August, so he's 18 years old right now. He's going to be one of the younger guys. And yeah, just absolutely dominant physically. When he is able to get to the rim, guys are bouncing off of him. He's got a crazy first step. He's got a lot of bounce to him. He jumps high on his shots and has a high release to him. It really feels like most everything is there. I mean, he's agile. His hips turn quick. There's not many negatives, if really any, for the most part, like physically, aside from, I mean, like 6'5", like he's a shooting guard, but that's just, it's what it is, you know? I think that, like you're saying, obviously physicality is the biggest thing here for him.
So I actually want to talk about his position. I was going to save this for later, but you brought it up, and I I don't know that he's necessarily going to be a shooting guard. I think that he's got real small forward potential. 6'5", but a very big wingspan, just under 6'10" in the wingspan. Obviously has the strength, has the bulk, has I don't mean height, but the size, the frame of a guy that can guard threes. And this is just something I heard kind of off the cuff today, listening to some draft podcasts going over the past years, that guys like Giannis came into the league and grew 3 inches from when they were drafted. All right. And obviously we're not expecting a Giannis like growth spurt from anybody. That was such an outlier. Like, you can look at pictures of him, although a lot of that was his strength and his frame as well building out. But I mean, 18-year-olds do get bigger.
This is true. I definitely grew after the point of being 18. So there is possibility there. And I see where you're saying with the three. I think that he definitely is capable of giving you minutes there, and maybe even being there long-term. I don't know. Threes and fours feel pretty similar in today's league to me. And I don't really see him being able to slide to that four. And sometimes there's these bigger threes. Like, I think he just could have some issues at the three at times, with I don't see him as guarding a dominant three, really.
Well, what's a dominant three? Because then I think in my mind, a dominant three is like a four. Like, if we're talking about your Kawhis of the world, like, I see them more as fours.
I guess that's fair. Yeah. Because I'm thinking that top tier for sure. I mean, but like a PG, I guess.
Like, I think he could guard Paul George, like, not well. Obviously, Paul George is an incredible scorer. He's going to give anybody, any rookie, huge, huge problems. But I think he's got the frame to do it. Mm-hmm. If he's 6'5 now, 6'9.5 wingspan, I think that he could end up, you know, 6'6 with no shoes on, 6'10, 6'10.5 wingspan, you know, maybe 230. Like, I think that could reasonably be a three. And if it's not a three, it's a fucking huge two. Like, that he's going to have such an insane advantage in size at the two. So I guess it doesn't really matter how we kind of position him, but I think his size is a good thing. And if we are going to look at him as a two, then he's just like the world's most athletic, like, physical two that there is.
Yeah. I think that, I had not considered him potentially growing. That's definitely a possibility. That'd be huge for him here. This just overwhelming build that he has, he's able to power through people. Like I said, a quick first step, and all of this really, I mean, one of the main pluses you see from him because of all this athleticism is in the transition game. Synergy has him in the 81st percentile, but I feel like he's just dominant when he's able to get going in the full court setting and have the ball in his hands and just get a head of steam going downhill.
Yeah. And it's his entire physical profile. It's like you said, getting downhill, you know, going baseline. His first step is pretty elite as well. So it's not just strength and explosion. It's not just strength and elevation. It's explosion, turning the corner. You don't see it quite as well on defense. I think that he's still got a little bit of learning to do there, but the tools are there. And I think that the size makes him a pretty good rebounder and rim protector for a two. He'd be a very good rebounder, rim protector for a two. And I think he'd be passable as a three in both of those departments.
I think he'd be passable for sure. I think the question, and this is going to be in a lot of his game, is just engagement, especially on the defensive end. He did have a ridiculous usage, obviously, with Georgia, his team, not really having anyone else there. So, you know, maybe it's just carrying too much load on offense, but there were definitely moments where he just was not engaged defensively. So that potential is there. But the engagement, the just paying attention when you're on weak side in order to be in a capable position to get those help side blocks that you're talking about, I think that is still very much a question for him, because you're right. The capabilities are there for sure, but he's just not always locked in. I do really think that could be just an absurd usage on the offensive end, though.
That's definitely got to be a part of it. It's definitely worth noting that Georgia didn't win a lot of games. They were not going to make the tournament at the time that the season was canceled.
Yeah.
So that brings up some questions of, like, you know, is it possible for a guy that was on a losing college team to come in and be the driving force of a ton of wins right away in the NBA? And probably not. I mean, you can't put him on a bad team and expect the team to get good all of a sudden, because that didn't even happen in college. Obviously it's not like a perfect analogy, but I do think he's kind of a floor raiser, where there's a lot of teams in the league. I think his fit would be so good on a team that just has no number one option right now, like a Cleveland or Detroit, even the Knicks, Chicago, maybe Charlotte would be great. Like, I think that he could come in and be a number one option and get them out of the basement, but I don't know that he's going to, like, I don't think he would fit well at all with, like, Golden State.
Right. Is it sort of like, I mean, are you really contributing to winning basketball, like winning at the highest level, right?
Right.
And yeah, I think a lot of his potential, obviously we haven't even got to it yet, is this jump shot here. And it's very sketchy, but this is what he likes to do. He has this ridiculous pull-up game to him that we mentioned. I mentioned he has this high elevation, but the shots are not going down very well for him. 67% of the time in the half court, he's shooting a jump shot, and he's hitting 28%.
Yeah, that's not good. Overall, the three-point percentage was 29%, and that's obviously from the college line as well. So that's definitely a concern. I was trying to think of guys in the league that, you know, maybe twos or threes, you know, bigger twos or smaller threes that have been successful offensive weapons that don't really have a consistent three-point percentage. And let me throw a name out there. You know, all these comps are going to be imperfect, but what do you think about DeMar DeRozan as kind of an offensive style comp?
That's interesting. I think that Edwards would be less hesitant to shoot threes because he's still throwing them up. But I see where you're coming with that, because, I mean, that's one of the few guys that really is not a threat three-point shooter. I think if you're looking at Edwards as a potential number one, that you kind of have to buy the jumper, that the three-point shot will end up working out, that he's just throwing them up. Like, I mean, his shot selection's terrible. It's fucking terrible. So you got to hope that, you know, you just iron that out a little bit and the percentage gets a little bit better here. And, you know, are you talking a B version Paul George sort of thing?
Yeah, I think that that's interesting as well. Paul George obviously definitely brought the shot around, but it came around later. And that happens with a lot of guys too. Like, Kawhi didn't shoot successfully in college, like, at all. And some people credit that to the Spurs organization. Some credit it to just, like, they should have – some people think that it should have been – the mechanics were there and they should have seen it, or they should have seen the potential to change the mechanics or what have you. But obviously he's not going to be the physical specimen in terms of size that Kawhi is. But I worry about the shot. What about RJ Barrett as another kind of comparison?
Yeah, I don't think he has the playmaking of RJ Barrett is the issue. It kind of screams a lot of Wiggins, no?
Yeah, no, it does. That's great. I actually brought that up to Bryant, the draft guy at the King's Herald. That's like the worst case scenario for Edwards is that he's just Andrew Wiggins.
And if he doesn't grow, he's a smaller Wiggins. Like, Wiggins, I mean, yeah, there's his physicality. Yeah. He's also just bigger, you know?
Right. I think Wiggins was – I think he's 6'7" now.
Yeah.
So he's not – I mean, he's not that much smaller than Wiggins. I wonder what his measurements were coming out of college. Probably a little bigger than Edwards. But, yeah, and then that – I think the question with Wiggins was always kind of between the ears and how much he wanted to win, how much he wanted to make smart plays. And this is really hard because we don't know this guy, obviously. We haven't seen – we haven't, like, we don't know who he is as a player yet, and that may not, that's also going to be an issue when we get to James Wiseman in a little bit here, but it's almost impossible to tell, especially from our standpoint, not being in front offices, not being involved with, not being able to interview him, not being able to talk to people that he's worked with, that have coached him before. We don't really know, but I will say I feel a little bit better about his mentality than I do about Wiggins.
Mm-hmm. He looks aggressive, you know, like, I mean, he does settle too much for these jumpers. Like, you'd like to see him, like we said, I think he's good at getting to the rim when he wants to. He just doesn't do it enough. Like, he's an average finisher around the rim, 53%, but guys really bounce off of him. So I'd like to see him, you know, just command a little bit more there. But did you possibly see his little run of 26 points in 12 minutes against Michigan State?
This was in Maui?
Yes.
I did.
Absolutely ridiculous. He looks like a superstar there.
That's when it's his jumper's falling, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what it, that's the outcome that you're hoping for if you're saying you buy his jumper.
Right.
That's the example of it.
It is. And that is just him pulling up over these ridiculously contested shots off the dribble. He is definitely able to create space for himself. That's a really big plus we hadn't mentioned yet, actually. But yeah, and even in that Michigan State game, you're going to get this shot creating, and he's knocking them down and difficult looks. It doesn't really matter. But again, I mean, the playmaking's not really there. Like, he's going off. So, I mean, maybe you could argue you'd rather him be shooting it than passing it to some of his other Georgia teammates here. But even in that game, 37 points, but only 2 assists and 5 turnovers here. So I think that's a little bit of where this, you know, he's not really making Georgia win, because he seems like a very self-centric player, and there is a little bit of ball-stopping worries there.
Yeah, and I wonder how that plays in as far as, like, if your team's not that good and you don't have great complementary players, does your coaching staff kind of let you do what you want, where they let him take, you know, almost 8 threes a game, whereas is if he gets into the NBA world, those coaches there are going to be like, all right, no more of that. You've got to play basketball that, like, suits your teammates as well. Do we see his 3-point attempts drop down to, like, 3 or 4 a game, even lower?
Right. It would have been really interesting to see him just on a roster with some other talent, you know, even second round talent, something like that. But is what it is. And yeah, I mean, I still think that the upside he has because of this space creating and knocking down difficult shots, ridiculous physicality, I mean, he's probably going to be first pick here. And if Sacramento had that pick, I mean, he's probably who I'm going with. Like, we'll get into Wiseman a little bit here as well. But the upside, I think, is undeniable for Edwards.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Kings in their – how they're sitting in the draft right now. And I think it is important to talk about every prospect available. It's not that there's a high probability that the Kings will get a chance at Edwards. Right now they sit 12th in the lottery standings. Which gives them a 6.2% chance to move into the top four and a 1.3% chance to move to number one overall. But there's so many asterisks all over this. Like, we don't know if there will be more season to play. We don't know if those standings will shuffle a little bit. We don't know if the lottery odds could be flattened. I know that Tony Zotaris, friend of the podcast, just wrote for the Kings Herald about how he thinks the lottery odds should be flattened. I don't necessarily agree with him, but like he mentioned, there are conversations. Anything could happen. So there's a decent chance, not completely insignificant chance, maybe a little less than 10% chance that the Kings do end up in the top four. And Edwards could slide a little bit. Like I said, I don't think that Golden State would go for him number one overall unless they were trying to trade that pick. And there's some questionable matches with other teams as well. So I don't know. Maybe there's only like a 2 or 3% chance that Sacramento even gets a chance to pick Edwards. But if they have a pick and Edwards is on the board for their pick, I do feel pretty strongly that he would be the best choice.
I think so too. And I mean, you kind of just run your ass off, right? Like they were doing last year.
Well, I think what he would be, yeah, that for sure. And I think that kind of what he's probably your best bet at a star in this draft. And you've brought up the point before that that's kind of what the Kings need. And the only real way to get another star would be through the draft. So it feels like you got to take that swing, that home run swing on a guy like Edwards. And I think that his fit would actually be pretty good with Sacramento.
Explain that a little bit, because I mean, well, I think it might be because you view him as a three, but what do you think of like the whole Buddy Bogey thing going on too?
Yeah, no, that's why at first I had questions about it, but I think that his fit would be fine. I think that either Buddy or Bogey is going to come off the bench, and I think you just slot in Edwards at the three. I know it's not maybe ideal to put a 6'5 guy there, but again, 18 years old, 6'5 already, 6'10 wingspan.
225.
Almost, yeah, 225. Like, I think he does grow a little bit. I think it would be kind of crazy for him to not grow at all. And, yeah, I mean, it works for me. He's a guy that would just get buckets. He's just a pure scorer, bucket getter. He's not maybe elite from the outside, maybe not even above average from the outside, but he can score from anywhere on the court. I think he will just get you buckets, and I think that's probably what the Kings need. Like, Buddy is a shooter, pretty much a pure shooter. Fox is your lead ball handler. Bagley, you know, we don't know what's going on with him, but regardless, he's a big man. That's kind of play finisher type, and there isn't a guy on this Kings team that is like Edwards.
There's not. The closest thing would probably be Bogey, but just like with so much less physical tools. I think that, so let's say hypothetically that he did get drafted to Sacramento. I mean, you're saying playing him at the three, is this like you would bring him off the bench? I don't think we need to get too deep into it, but I'm just kind of curious, like, you know, you could also slide Barnes to a four and that'd be interesting.
I would probably start him at the three day one. And I would, you know, however this Bogey Buddy thing shakes out,
right?
One of them starts at the two, one of them comes off the bench. Fox obviously starts at the one. I would move Barnes to the four and have him play down, or how, you know, some people would call that up, but down in the number, like from four to three. I think that that's fine. I could also see him coming off the bench and sliding Barnes up, starting Barnes at the three, sliding him up to the four.
Right. I don't think it's a perfect fit, or even necessarily like ideal, but it's just, you know, you take the talent and you make it work, and it's not a terrible fit either. There's logic to it there, but it's just, you know, you take the high talent, like you're saying, a guy that can be a superstar. Sacramento might not have that, depending on your feelings on Fox, and throw Bagley in there too. You just take this guy because there is that ridiculous upside there. I don't think it goes there. I think there'd be growing pains of like working him with Fox a little bit, since both of these guys like to have the ball in their hands. When you got both of them in transition, it'd be just glorious. It'd be beautiful. There would be a little bit of issues, I think, getting those two guys comfortable with each other. I guess like there would be with any prospect though. So it's far from perfect, but this is the upside guy that I feel like you would have to take.
And I don't really feel like he needs the ball in his hands that much. I know he played point guard a lot in Georgia, but that's like lead ball handler. But that was really – that team was just no good around him. It wasn't – I think that was out of necessity, and I think he's totally fine to work off ball. Not an amazing catch-and-shoot guy, but you have Bogey or Buddy for that. Barnes can do that. Yeah. Bielitsa, if he's around, can do that. I think that he's a totally fine, like, off-ball guard / forward, like off-ball wing. I think it works fine. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but I do like his on-ball defense. I think he has a lot of work to do in that area, and his off-ball defense definitely needs work. But I think he's got strong on-ball defensive skills, and that wingspan is really – really pesters passing lanes, and I think that he's got the potential to become a decent to good defender as well.
Yeah, I think that that potential 100% is there. Like you're saying, I like the on-ball offense as well. The off-ball is definitely has capabilities with that athleticism, just needs to be locked in a little bit more. But that's most of what I got here for Anthony Edwards, man. What else do you feel like you want to talk about with him? With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. If you're missing the NFL, it's no problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
Maybe to transition a bit, I mean, who are the other guys? You didn't seem 100% on him being the pick if you had your choice of anyone in this draft. Mm-hmm. Who are the other guys that you would consider?
Wiseman's interesting. I think the Wiseman, we'll get into Wiseman, but I think he's really similar to Bagley in a way, just kind of a center. And so that, it just depends how you feel about Bagley for me with the Wiseman one, but that's the other one here because those are the two guys that could be stars. And then I lean Edwards just because wings over centers, pretty much.
So pretty much this episode we'd be covering pretty much every – all the people that you would consider at the number one pick.
Yeah. You got to reach for the guy that could be a star. I think that you go for Edwards there. But I would consider trading down because, you know, I'd prefer a Coro or Denny or something that really fits that, you know, 3-4 wing more specifically and confidently than I am with Edwards.
Yeah. Fair enough. I don't think, by the way, just to throw this out there, I'm going to look it up real quick, but I don't think that Okoro is like a better size. Like I think he's pretty much the same size.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't done my full Okoro dive yet. So you could be right about that. But that's more defense and impact guy on that end, you know?
I've seen him. I'm seeing him listed as 6'5", 225, which is the exact size of Edwards.
Oh, wow.
But I've also seen places give him a little more height, 6'6". And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the shoes thing. And again, measurements are so unreliable. Yeah.
The space creation, the self-creation, and just scoring ability is just flat out. I mean, if you're able to do that at a high level, which Edwards has potential to, there's just – more value there than an impact defensive player for the most part. Like you need a guy that can self-create and potentially be obviously a number one in an offense, you know?
Right. And I think that Edwards could be a number one. And I think he could also be a number two without, like, I don't think he needs to be a number one. I don't think you need to break down your team in order to rebuild it around Edwards. But I mean, this can all evolve. Right now he's my number one guy for any team and number one guy for a Kings specific pick. Let's talk about James Wiseman.
Yeah, we got another ridiculous specimen here. I mean, 7 feet tall, 7'1" in some places. I saw 240 on one site, 247 on another, about a 7'4" wingspan. I mean, just again, overwhelmingly athletic, except this time you're talking about a just ginormous man, 9'3" standing reach.
9'3" standing reach is
what the hell?
Absolutely monstrous.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so he has very similar height, weight, wingspan to Embiid, which obviously is very promising there. But also, you got to look at the other side, similar to Whiteside.
He's he's not quite as big, or I think that it was Gobert that had the highest standing reach of like current starters. I think he's 9'6" with the standing reach. I think guys like Taco Fall obviously got him beat, but and he doesn't have the frame of a guy like Gobert, obviously. Wiseman is a lot skinnier. You see it in his legs a lot as well. Like you mentioned the height and weight of Embiid. I think that is Embiid's listed weight going into the draft, where he's filled out quite a bit.
Yeah, he definitely has. And like you said, Wiseman's skinnier here. Yeah, it has Embiid as 250 now on Basketball Reference. Wiseman's a little skinnier. He can run better for sure. I think that's one of the pluses that he gets for being a little lighter. And he's very agile. I would say maybe more so than Embiid. Like you see these really nice spin moves. Embiid's doing that a little more as well. But it's more physicality backing you down and just overwhelming you that you get with Embiid. And you don't quite see that with Wiseman. It looks like a little more finesse even combined with this ridiculous athleticism. But, you know, he, like I said, he's got some spin moves to him. He likes to face up and shoot a jumper at times, which is interesting because I don't think that's how you would prefer to utilize him in an offense. But you're getting a rim running protector is pretty much what you're guaranteed to get here for the most part. And then the shot is a question that really fluctuates his ceiling.
Yeah, for Wiseman, I'm in love with the length, the size, the speed, the athleticism, the explosiveness. All of those tools are incredible. And like you said, what that guarantees you is a guy that is a rim running nightmare. Like, he's going to really like ruin people in transition and finishing lobs. Like, you know, there's a lot of his tape is like, he kind of gets position near the basket and the point guard is just like dribbling above the top of the key and just throws a lob in. Like,
right. We didn't even see him in college. Like, this is mostly high school. Of course, this guy is going to dominate other high school players, you know?
Oh, it was a bloodbath in high school. Like, that's the thing. Like, he'll get matched up on like a 6'7" guy and it's like, all right, good night. Like, we're just going to throw the ball anywhere near the backboard and he's going to go up and get it and throw it down. That's not going to happen against guys like Rudy Gobert, but my general take on him is that I would be really, really high on Wiseman if I thought that he would be just a traditional old school center who never took a shot outside of 10 feet, never tried to do any fancy dribble moves. Like, I know that he has some of those skills. Like, we've seen the jumper is interesting. He gets such a high release point, and he's so much taller than guys already. They can shoot over like pretty much anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's very tempting to do that, and he does do that a lot. He takes that shot a lot.
This sounds like Willie Cauley-Stein PTSD.
Yeah, that's really where I'm at. I don't know if you saw the interview with him where he compared himself to Giannis. Like, they asked him.
Oh, wow. No, I did not.
Yeah, they asked him, what type of player are you most like in the NBA? And he said Giannis, and he talked about how he has the handling and the dribbling skills of Giannis type of player. And it's like, no, you don't, dude. And if you think that, I mean, that's the Willie Cauley-Stein to Kristaps Porzingis situation.
It is. I will say, like, his handle did really surprise me. I wouldn't be confident in it, but there's times where, you know, he gets the defensive board and he takes it himself, and it is really impressive. Like, he can run near full speed and at least keep the ball with him. I think he definitely could get picked, but that's definitely not what you're asking him to do, I don't think.
And you're right. It's not – you're right to check me there, because I was going overboard. It's not nearly as bad as Willie Cauley-Stein to Kristaps Porzingis comparison. But it's like
– reach, yeah.
It's in that same – like, wheel – it's in that same general arena where – if you just said, hey, I want to be Rudy Gobert. I want to build strength. I want to be a defensive player of the year, and I'll take whatever baskets I get. It's mostly going to be dunks. Like, I would be so much more on board for him.
Well, the best thing is probably Joel Embiid, right?
I don't think that he has the like the post moves to be anything like Embiid. I don't think he has the craft. I don't think he has the scoring ability. You mentioned some some nice spin moves, and like you see a little bit of it in the highlight tapes, but my concern is that he settles for stuff so much. He settles for jumpers. He settles for hooks. And even against much, much smaller guys, like in high school and stuff like that, where you shouldn't be settling for anything but a dunk. Like, you should be getting dunks on 90% of your offensive possessions.
Yeah, there's plenty of times where you do see him be able to do that, just dominate people because he's so much more athletic, stronger, taller, bigger. But there's also times where it's like, you're ginormous. How are you getting knocked off by this guy? You know, high school tape of these guards postering him, everybody's going to get postered at some point. But there's definitely moments where you're saying he's not engaged, and it's just like, you know, you should not be allowing people to get away with this pretty much. Like, you see defensive, offensive rebounds for him because he seems really locked in there, but there's inconsistencies on the defensive end because he doesn't always put a body on someone and use that size that he has. So he definitely scares me.
Yeah. I don't think that he knows what he should be doing a lot of the time. And that's probably symptomatic of a guy that only played 5 games in college and symptomatic of a guy who's been a number one recruit like throughout his whole life. Like, he was the number one high school recruit like everywhere, right? And so
what do you make of that, though? Like, do you look at that and think that that's an obvious area for him to improve, or more of a likely question mark throughout his career?
The awareness stuff?
Yeah.
I think that it's a red flag. I mean, it's any real weakness could just be an area for improvement. And obviously if he becomes a really smart, like a guy that plays within himself and, you know, is conservative with his decision-making, then he can be really, truly amazing. But for the most part, I think I got to view a weakness as a weakness rather than an opportunity to grow.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, just things like really poor timing at times on some shot blocking attempts, not really being physical with his screens. There are moments, don't get me wrong, where the rim protection is ridiculous. There was apparently in Nike Hoop Summit, he had 6 blocks in 22 minutes. I mean, like, you definitely see stretches of it. But if we're talking about a number one guy, I mean, we've said it before that center is like so replaceable. Is this guy really giving you superstar talent from the center, or is this just like how much better is he going to be than a Clint Capella?
No, it's a great point. It's a great point. The center, the way that we've seen the center market, you know, really the value of replacement player raises and the level of stars drops off. And I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to think back. So obviously Zion, I don't know if you'd even call him a center. He's just too much of a unicorn to really put in that.
Probably not.
In that role. But like going back, every big man picked too early, it feels kind of like a mistake. Like DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley, for that matter, over Luka, it feels like a mistake. Like, I think that Ayton's going to be pretty good, but would you really want to spend a number one overall draft pick on him? I don't know. Going back to a guy like Towns, it's interesting because it hasn't borne out into wins, but you see that he has this elite shooting ability.
Right. Towns is a god of a shooter.
He's a god. I mean, he's going to be a career 40% three-point shooter.
Right, he's probably the best shooting center we've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the type of guy that I'm happy to spend a number one draft pick on. But
right. What do you think of my Marvin Bagley just 7 feet tall? Not perfectly. You know, like, I think that Bagley, I don't know. I mean, if you got a little taller, your speed probably goes down a little bit as well. I don't know. I see a lot of it, you know, facing up in the mid-range and trying to go past guys, settling a little too much. Definitely when I see the, you know, being engaged offensive rebounds, not really on the defensive end.
It's tough. I mean, I think that Wiseman is in a different stratosphere defensively. But yeah, then again, that's what happens when you have a 9'3" standing reach. So if you're saying Bagley had a 9'3" standing reach, stood 7'1" with a 7'9" wingspan, like, then yeah, you're probably right.
It feels like similar games to me. And I guess if we were talking about, you know, say Sacramento tried to pair those guys together, I think that's it's a pretty rough fit. Obviously,
it's a disaster.
Yeah, obviously we've talked about Bagley with non-shooters before and that being an issue, but to me, like, Wiseman would need to almost replace Bagley in a way.
It would be a complete disaster. I mean unless you play them like one starts and one comes off the bench and they never spend time together, then you gotta trade Holmes,
right? And let's say Bagley isn't even there. I mean, the fit with Fox has a lot of questions even.
Do you think so?
I think so. I mean, for the same reasons that Bagley does. Yeah, because they both don't shoot. Like, they both are guys that are trying to get downhill to the basket.
Well, I don't really have an issue with Fox and Bagley as a pair, so that's probably why I don't have an issue with Fox and Wiseman. I think you can have two guys that don't shoot incredibly well. And to be fair, like, Fox is, like, a functional shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess also to be fair to Wiseman, like, there is some potential there.
There is some. Yeah. All right. Let me ask you a couple questions here because I love the Bagley comparison. I was going to ask you already one of these questions, but all right, let me ask you this. Who do you think would be a better shooter between Wiseman and Bagley?
Oh, shit. God, they're both so ugly. Probably Wiseman. Like, Bagley, that little hop that Bagley has to him makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
They're both going to be bad is how I feel. Like,
yeah,
they're both going to be 30%, you know, like.
Yeah, both will be 30% at best on a small volume.
Right.
Okay, then, yeah, let me just get to the question I was going to ask you before. Would you rather have Marvin Bagley or James Wiseman? Mm,
Wiseman, because Bagley's position is so up in the air.
I would, too. I would trade Marvin Bagley for James Wiseman.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I don't really see how you could go the other way, really. I 100% would go Wiseman. You question Bagley's position. You need rim protection is one of, if not the biggest need for Sacramento. And Wiseman is giving you that instantly. It's not like Holmes is a guy that you have on your roster and you don't pick a center for because of that or anything like that. I 100% take Wiseman over Bagley.
I would love a Wiseman Holmes rotation at the five, kind of like a Clippers-esque, like, again, yeah, going back to the whole Holmes as Montrez, that type of role.
Right. Oh, yeah. I would feel so good about the rim protection.
I would feel great about the rim
protection. So different.
And this isn't to say that Wiseman's going to come in and be a defensive player of the year candidate from day one. He does need to work on his recognition and awareness defensively, but again, like, when you got a 9'3" standing reach, like,
right,
you know, it goes a long way. It goes a long way. But
people could be buying just because of that, you know?
Right. And that's, I think that these guys, and Edwards too, to a certain extent, like, you brought up the Wiggins comparison.
Yeah.
The guys that are built on their athletic profile, they have the biggest, not only the biggest boom, but, like, the biggest bust potential as well. You could just be seeing the athletics, like, and then you get Anthony Edwards onto the court and he shoots 25% from three for his career. You get, right, Wiseman onto the court and he never becomes
face ups, like, and pulls mid ranges all day.
He never develops the defensive awareness he needs to be a truly effective, even with a 6'3" standing reach, he still doesn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And just is out of position all the time. Like, those are both real possibilities, and it's frightening. But in a draft like this, where there isn't a guy that there aren't questions about, I think you do probably have to take the risk.
You think so? Hypothetically, Sacramento's sitting at two. Edwards is already taken. What do you feel about this Wiseman thing?
It's not as easy for me as to put Edwards number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of the Bagley of it all. Like, you've already got this dude.
Right.
Like, unless you felt like you could find a suitor for Bagley, I don't know. Because say you do draft Wiseman, like, you have to trade Bagley.
Right. And how much shit do you get if you draft Wiseman at the same position as Bagley?
So much shit.
And you didn't draft Luka because he's the same position as Fox.
And then you get so much shit if Bagley becomes good or if Wiseman doesn't become better. Like, it's such an awful position to be in.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, if I could get...
Just so many guards is the other issue, like the other top of this class, you know?
Right. I mean, the dream scenario, and it would never happen, but if you could, if you ended up moving up to number two and you take Wiseman and you're able to trade down Bagley for like an Okoro or a Devin Vassell, and it's like...
I like Onyeka Okongwu. I think we're going to get... He's going to be interesting to talk compared to Wiseman. I need to dive more into Onyeka, but I currently am leaning him over Wiseman. I've seen plenty of people doing that throughout the year. I think the feel is such a big deal for this center. Like, the size is a concern for Onyeka, but I think just having that intelligence to your game as a center is such a big deal to me.
Well, see, I thought the reason I'm surprised is that I thought we were saying that these were your two guys, Edwards and Wiseman. But
the upside of Wiseman is what probably puts him over Onyeka, because you're right. Yeah, there is a reason that for the Kings, I would put Onyeka, I think.
See, I feel like Onyeka almost has more of an overlap with Bagley because, like, they are more similar sized.
Yeah, I see that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There's more versatility to Onyeka, I feel like. He's going to be interesting. We'll get into him in a little bit of a later episode here. But, yeah, the Bagley concern with Wiseman is definitely where that fit becomes a question. I'm pretty terrified of Wiseman. I think that
– I'm pretty terrified.
You very much could end up with a Hassan Whiteside, you know?
So say you move up and Wise – yeah, say you move up to number two. Edwards is off the board. Do you take Wiseman or do you trade down? Like, what's the package you would take to trade down and let go of Wiseman? What's like the worst draft pick package, or you could even talk role players as well, that you would accept for the number two pick?
I don't think the package is quite there this year, but, or maybe a, if you're moving down to say like, let me pull up the lottery odds here. If you're moving down to what, like Chicago, say like six, and you got next year's first.
Yeah, that's like, think of like the Luka Atlanta trade kind of.
Yeah, that's
like,
kind of what I thought of.
Would you take five or six, and like Detroit's a good one. Would you take the fifth pick and their 2021 or New York?
For sure. I went with Chicago because I think that they'd be more trying to win right now than those other two teams. But yes, I would definitely do that. 100% Wiseman's, this is, you know, second pick, Edwards is gone. I'm trying to trade down, assuming that people are really looking at Wiseman, you know?
And how far down would you go? Like, if we're doing this pick and next year, like, would you take Charlotte? Like, say they finished at the eighth spot or with the lottery, like, would you take the eighth pick in their 2021?
I could. It's close.
Ninth pick, tenth. I mean, Charlotte. Where do you would love? Where do you cut it off? Yeah, right.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like 12, because I think that's where you start to fall off a little bit. But probably about 10. Yeah.
Yeah, 10. I mean, that'd be a come up for the.
It would. I mean, you're going down pretty far. I just don't buy it quite enough, you know? And I think that the fit obviously is a big question. It seems like Sacramento still believes in Bagley from what they're putting out there. And I still think that you need to be giving Bagley chances, you know, assuming he stays healthy. I would trade down and go for one of these wings. And part of the reason I'm willing to go to say like 10 is because I feel like, you know, next three picks could all be guards.
Yeah, maybe New York is a good one because they have two first-rounders. So, I mean, would you take 6 and 27?
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
No, I think two lotteries.
Okay.
You know, next year's first as well, which is a lot. But like, why? I mean, Wiseman does have. Is it superstar upside? I don't think so.
I mean,
like, I guess hypothetically, like complete peak ceiling, he could.
Yeah, I think his absolute peak is defensive player of the year, and I don't even know if that's superstar.
Yeah, is it like if Rudy Gobert had a jumper? And he's too different from that.
He's too different from that. I think like he could never be as valuable. He could never be more valuable than Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Yeah, and again, the fit with Sacramento, I think there's questions there. I would definitely, like we said, Edwards 1, and then if you're sitting at Wiseman 2, I'm probably trading down. I'm going to be interested to go into Onyeka a little bit more and Okoro, guys like that. But that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, so next episode, you want to do Ball and Denny?
Let's do it. That's probably the next two guys.
I think that those are the other two guys. Well, I think Ball definitely has a case for number one. Mm-hmm. And that's where like real fit issues come into with the Kings. And Denny, I'm just interested in because I could see him being a great fit. It's kind of like you got the reverse sides of that there, where you've got a really definitely the best player on the board left with LaMelo, but the fit's terrible, versus a guy that maybe wouldn't be BPA, but could have an incredible fit.
Right. Denny's going to be interesting to me to dive into a little bit more because I had thought his shot was better than the numbers are when I had taken a look recently. I think those are two guys that'll be interesting to get into. And even once we get a little later, it'll be interesting. You know, Obi Toppin, we didn't mention this episode, a little bit older, I guess you could say, maybe fits the timeline better. It'll be interesting to get to these next two. What do we say? We said Ball and Denny, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go with some overseas guys. Sounds good to me. I think that's all I got here, man.
All right, that's about it. I'm excited to do more of these. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad to be doing this research. And real quick, I want to shout out, we have got a message on the KP account, someone asking that we do some draft stuff, wondering if we were going to, and it happened to be the next episode. This is @MoneySingeD. So shout out to, his name's Money on Twitter. That's what we're going with. Shout out to Money. Draft episode for you. He seems like an Okoro guy. So we'll be getting to that one on the next one, my man. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Kings Pulse Podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening, and you'll hear from us again in the next couple of days.